John chapter 17. This is what I like to call, what most people like to call, the Lord's Prayer. We know the model prayers in another passage of Scripture when the disciples asked the Lord, teach me to pray. And he taught them to pray the model prayer. But here in John chapter 17, we actually have the Lord's Prayer. We know what his focus is, right? His focus is the cross. He's going to the cross. But on his way to the cross, you'll find that his heart was bent toward other people. And his heart was bent toward his disciples. And he knew when they left, they were going to have a struggle. So he prayed to God and asked God to do a specific thing for them. And I want you to look in verse 13. He says, now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And here was his prayer to the Father, to his disciples. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God understood that when it came down to where the rubber met the road, his disciples were only going to have one thing to hang on to, and that was the truth. They were going to face persecution. The world was going to hate them. But they had to know the truth. And tonight, just like the disciples, we're in the same boat. We're down to the point where God is soon returning. He is coming back for his children. And don't you understand, and I hope that you do, the world hates Christians. World hates Jesus. Anybody that's going to stand for Jesus, they're going to hate us. And as we get closer to the return of God and return of Christ, the world is going to hate us even more. And when it comes down to the end of time, we're going to have one thing to hang our hat on, and we are going to hang it on truth. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now we understand, and I hope you know, truth is a good thing. Sometimes we look on truth as a negative thing. You know, certain sayings throughout our lifetime, the truth hurts. And men, you know as well as I do, there are times when your wife asks you certain questions and you'd rather not tell them the truth sometimes because you want to stay married. And so you know what I mean? We won't go there, but you married people, men, know what I'm trying to say. But Jacob, you never got that far yet, have you? No, she says a little close. So we know that the truth is a good thing. The word tells us that Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. Psalm 40:11 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 54:5 says, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. Psalm 57:10 says, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth under the clouds. Psalm 85:11 says, truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Psalm 86:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 91:4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings shalt thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 100:5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generation. Isaiah 25 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Do you agree with me tonight? That's just a portion of the over 200 scriptures that truth is mentioned. Do you think truth is an important thing? I believe it is. And we have to know the truth. The way this message came to me and the way the thought started in me, I was driving down the road and listening to Enlightened Christian Radio. And, of course, they play a lot of the music that we listen to and love to listen to. And so one of my favorite groups came on the radio, Karen Peck and New River. Hey. Now, I think they would agree with me, just bear with me just for a moment. But in the year 2000, it was probably a life-changing year for Karen Peck and New River. They came out with an album called A Taste of Grace. And on that album, most people bought that album for track number 3, 4 days late. Most of you bought that CD for number 3. You put the CD in, turned it to number 3 to play 4 days late. You kept hitting repeat, 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 repeat. And I did the same thing. I think it was their second number 1 hit at the time. And it was named Song of the Century in the year 2000, from 2000 till 2010. Well deserving, one of the most powerful songs ever recorded and ever sang, in my opinion. It's got us through a lot of great times, a lot of hard times, and it was there for us when we needed it. But if you listen to the CD in order, and maybe you went straight to number 3, you passed up another powerful song, and it's track number 2. The song is called The Truth Is. They released it in 2001. It made it to number 24. But see, everybody bought the CD for 4 days late. But with that CD, you got another powerful song entitled The Truth Is. I think it was written by a local gentleman from Huntington, West Virginia, John Darren Rousey. And the verses speak of how the facts come against us. And the facts are burning us down. And the facts are listed here and there. But then the chorus says this: but the truth is, you're not forsaken. And the truth is, you won't be denied. And here's the line of all lines: the facts may be stacked up against you right now, but the truth is, God's on your side. And see, Satan tonight loves to list the facts in our life. He loves to list the facts, and maybe we look at the facts and think, there's no way I can get around it. But I want to present to you tonight very quickly the fact that Jesus Christ doesn't give us facts. He gives us truth. And He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So number 1, what does the word say and the truth say about faithfulness, about His faithfulness? Well, if we look at a story in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, a very familiar passage of scripture. There was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, the Bible says, and she came to the house where Jesus was at. She heard that He was there. Now, just a background before we go on. You have to understand, this woman should not even have been in the presence of Jewish people, let alone Jesus Christ. And so she came to the house and she knocked on the door, and with the cry from her lips, she said this: Dear Jesus, Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And so she began to list the facts in her life and that she needed help. She should not even have been around Jesus Christ. She shouldn't even been associated with Him. You say, Brian, how do you know that? Because number 1, first of all, Jesus didn't even answer her. He almost ignored her. And the fact was, the disciples almost pushed her out the door, saying, you shouldn't even be allowed in here. But I want you to notice something. You can go home and read it. Her persistence turned into praise. She didn't take no for an answer. She knew the facts were stacked up against her, but she also knew that she had a problem that she could not solve. And she heard how Jesus was a way maker. She heard how Jesus was able to help those in need. So she went past the naysayers. She went past the facts. And she knelt at the feet of Jesus and she did this. She began to worship Him. You'll notice she didn't ask for anything else. After she asked for Him and was ignored, she said, I know how to get the attention of the Master. I'll fall at His feet and begin to worship Him. And so she fell at His feet and worshiped Him for who He is. And may I say this as an aside, we'll get a lot more accomplished in our Christian life if we simply fall at His feet and worship Him. He knows our need. I feel the Lord tonight. He knows our need even before we ask. And when we worship Him for who He is, He'll come down and help us. She fell at His feet. And Jesus even listed some more facts. He said, it's not meat for me. It's not meat for me to give the children's meat to the dogs. Didn't He? He said, I'm not supposed to. You know how you're supposed to be talking to me? You're not even supposed to be here. And especially, I'm not supposed to give you anything. And I have every right to kick you out of here. I have every right to tell the disciples to let you go. She said, yeah, Lord, I know the facts. But truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Even the dogs get the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, Lord, I know what the facts are. I know they're stacked up against me. But the truth is, all I need is just a crumb from your table. And I know there's so much power in that one little crumb. Thank God that you can heal my daughter. Aren't you thankful tonight? We don't need a whole loaf of bread for the master's table. We don't deserve his blessings. We don't deserve his miracles. We don't deserve what he does for us. But truth, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. And listen, tonight, when we're going to understand he doesn't need to bless us or we don't deserve to be blessed. But the fact is this, the facts are stacked up against us. But when we worship him and understand he is God and he can do anything he chooses, I'm telling you, folks, we'll see things pick up at our house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The truth is he's faithful. He's faithful when the facts are stacked up against us. And I'm telling you, then so many of you tonight, the facts were stacked up against you, but you found that God was faithful in your situation. Some of you tonight, the doctors listed the facts and said, you've only got a few months to live, but you're still here tonight years later. They may have had the facts, but they didn't have the truth. Some of you tonight, you're looking at even diagnoses right now, and you're thinking, how in the world am I going to overcome this? Well, listen, that's what the facts say. But let me tell you the truth. The Lord is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord our provider. Don't let the devil list the facts. Go to Jesus, that'll tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, the truth is, God will be faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This September, I'll turn 44 years old. And at the age of 13, I was diagnosed with juvenile type 1 diabetes. And so this will be over 30 years that I've had this disease. And I remember vividly getting the diagnosis from the doctor. And, of course, Dad, being a pharmacist all those years, knew the dangers and knew what could happen at such a young age and how brittle that would be. And I was just going in to be a freshman in high school. And to be honest with you, I thought my life was over. I thought I'd never have a life. And as a young man, I thought I'd never have a girlfriend. You know, just things just, you know, the devil likes to even petty things like that. He likes to come against us. And so I remember sitting on the bed with my mom and we had gotten all the facts and they said, listen, you must just go ahead and expect it. Brian's going to be back in the hospital. He's probably going to spend about his whole high school career in the hospital. And he won't be able to be under control. And you just expect it. There's going to be a lot of sleepless nights. There's going to be a lot of times when you're going to, he'll crash and he'll go high and he'll crash. Because that's how teenagers do. And you just expect it. That's what's going to happen. And so we had all those lists of facts, Jim, and all those things stacked up against us. And so we got home and I remember my mom taking me up to the room and I began to cry and just overwhelmed and burdened with the heaviness at that time. And I said, Mom, what are we going to do? I don't know if I can do this. And my mom, of course, crying as well and trying to console her son. And she said, Brian, we're going to do what we've always done. We're going to trust in the faithfulness of God. And we're going to trust Him. You're going to do what you can do and God will do His part. Boy, we know the facts. We know what the doctors say. We know what the facts are. But may I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the truth? Over 30 years now, I haven't been in the hospital one single time for diabetes-related issues. Last month, I went to the doctor, got the best report I've ever gotten since I've had diabetes. You say, Brian, is it all you? No, it's not me. I tell you, it's the faithfulness of God. The facts may be stacked up against you right now, but the truth is, God's on your side. He's faithful. Glory to God, He's faithful. He's faithful. That's the truth about His faithfulness. Let me tell you the truth when it comes to your fears. When it comes to your fears. Also in the book of Matthew, chapter previous to that, chapter 14, the Bible says that Jesus compelled his disciples to get into a boat. And we have the picture of them getting in a boat and Jesus pushing them out into the sea. And we know that a short time later, when they got into the middle of the sea, the Bible says that a great storm arose. And for those of you that have visited Israel, I haven't been there myself, but those of you that have been there know that that happens quite frequently on the Sea of Galilee. These were experienced fishermen, experienced men in a boat, and this storm came out of nowhere. And the Bible says that even in the darkest part of night, the fourth watch of the night, they were toiling and rowing. That means they were going as hard as they could and not getting anywhere. Have you ever been that way in your Christian life? You keep rowing and rowing and rowing, keep spinning your tires and going nowhere, but you're wore out all the time. That's the way the disciples were. They were toiling and rowing, not getting anywhere. The fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, they had exhausted every resource they had. But the Bible says over on a mountaintop was Jesus. And 3.5 miles away in the darkest part of night, right in the middle of the storm, the Bible says he saw them toiling in rowing. Aren't you thankful that in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your crisis, no matter how dark it may seem, aren't you thankful for your child of God tonight? Jesus sees you. He knows exactly where you're at. And the greater thing than this was, not only did he see, saw them, but he sought them. He went out and walked right on top of what was going over them. The Bible says the water was crashing into their boat so that the ship was full of water and it should have sank, but it didn't sink. And the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water and would have passed them by. And they began to be afraid. They began to be afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And Peter cried out and said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He didn't walk on the water, my friend. He walked on the Word of God. He stepped out on the Word of God. And the word, as he began to walk, and as listen now, this is familiar, but as long as he kept his eyes on the Savior and not on his circumstance, he was doing just fine. But as soon as he got his eyes off the Savior and onto the storm, he began to be afraid and he began to sink. And listen, we talk about Peter, about him getting his eyes off the Savior, but I want you to notice something. The Lord showed me something in this. Even though Peter fell, even though he sunk into the sea, he fell right at the feet of the Savior. He fell to a place where Jesus was able to reach down and to pick him up. Listen, when they got back to the boat, the disciples said, I know the storm was around us and we were afraid, but of a truth, he is the Son of God. You notice when he got back into the boat, he didn't even have to say, peace be still. All he had to do was get in the boat and the wind ceased. Aren't you thankful that right in the middle of your storm, when you're at the most time when you are afraid, thank God his presence is there and he can lead you into safety. I know what the facts are. You're afraid tonight. You're afraid to step out. You're afraid to get out of your comfort zone. But let me remind you what the truth is. Hallelujah. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the truth about your fear. Finally, I want you to notice the truth about your freedom. About your freedom. John chapter 8. There's a woman that was taken in adultery. Bible says she was caught in the very act. And they brought her to Jesus. Now I know you know this, and so I'm not telling you nothing you don't already know, but the book of Deuteronomy tells us that what the facts were. The facts were she should have been killed. She should have been stoned. But also not only she should have been stoned, Ronnie, but the man that she was with should have been stoned as well. But you never see a man in the middle with her. Why? Where was he at? My own personal opinion, I think he had a rock in his hand, about ready to throw it at her, trying to get rid of the evidence. But we all know this was just a setup to come against the Savior. Aren't you thankful you can't surprise the Lord? Oh, they tried to upset him so many times, but he... Yeah. Thank you, My boss, my pastor, is wonderful because he's a great counselor. And this, here's the reason why. Cal Ray may not know all the answers, but he knows to ask the right questions. And Jesus is the same way. I'm not saying he's Jesus, but I'm saying he has the same attributes, the same traits. Jesus knows how to ask the right questions to get to the bottom of the problem. So this woman was taken. And so he kneels down and just began. They had him. If we stone her, he was against the law of Moses and also the Roman law. So they had him guilty in both instances. And as they asked him the questions, he knelt down and wrote in the sand. Dr. Calvin Evans preached a tremendous message on the finger of God one time. And he brought that point out. And you know what Larry, it's been speculated for years what Jesus wrote, but we can sum it up. He wrote the truth. He wrote the truth. And when everyone saw the truth, their stones began to drop. And they walked away. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "Lord, I have none." He said, "Neither do I. Condemn thee, go and sin no more." But you know what? That didn't stop the naysayers from coming back at him. They continued to ridicule him and continued to ask him questions. "How can you do this? How could you say she's forgiven? What kind of power do you have?" And so he reflects back to the Father. He said, "Listen, this is the Father's doing. This is the reason I'm here. When you've seen the Father, you've seen me." And then he makes the most powerful statement in John chapter 8 concerning this woman. Basically, he said, "Listen, when you know the truth shall make you free." The facts were stacked up against that lady. And by the law and by the facts, her sentence was death. But Jesus said, "Lady, let me tell you what the truth is. The truth is you can be free." Well deserving of death, well deserving of the stones, well deserving to carry the sin in her life. But he says, "You can be free. You know what the facts say about people getting saved nowadays? Whew. Slim to none. Does that mean you can't be saved? No. No. Brother Mike Blanton and Teresa are here. They're here with us all week. I really appreciate them doing that. They come here. This is part of their revival and refresh. Last week they were in Greenfield. Had a wonderful revival up there. 87, was that? 87-year-old man came and gave his heart to Jesus. Can I tell you what the facts say? Of all the people getting saved currently in this nation, 2% of those are 50 and above. But the truth is, the truth is, I'm glad he didn't put an age limit on Romans, did he? When he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be." I'm glad he didn't put an age requirement there. He said, "Whosoever." That's what the truth is. The other end of the spectrum is that less than 2% are 5 and younger. I beat those odds. Sister Candy beat those odds. Many of you were saved the age of 5 years old or younger. The facts say that we didn't know what we was doing. The facts say that we didn't sin enough to be saved. May I remind you what the truth is? My Uncle Gary's here tonight. And he was preaching on September the 6th, 1981 at my dad's church. And he was preaching about hell. And I was scared to go to hell. He laid the facts out. He laid the facts out and said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you didn't accept Christ as your Savior, and if something would happen this night, that you would die and go to hell. And I was scared to death to go to hell. And they presented the altar call. And I know what the facts were. You're too young. You don't know what you're doing. But I knew what I was doing, and I knew that if I died, I would have went to hell. But He gave me an opportunity. He presented the invitation. They sang, "Just as I am." And on the second verse, listen, there's in the church hymnal, there's only three verses. And so they sang the three. And normally you go back to one. And so I said, "Lord, if they play that second verse again, I'll go." Well, for some reason, they didn't go back to one. They went back to two. And that was God's way of telling me, I don't care how young you are. I don't care how young you are. If you know you need Jesus, if you know you need me, you can be saved and I can set you free. And I came down on the second verse just as I am at the center altar just a few miles from here. And I asked the Lord into my heart. And as my good friend Mike Blanton says, I ain't always been what I should have been, but I ain't what I was. And bless God, I'm not what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. So irregardless of the facts in your life, regardless of how young you are, if you're middle-aged or you're up in years and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I don't care what the facts say, you can be free. Wow. How? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is, the truth is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the truth is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.